everyone. Welcome. This is Yannick Silver, and I'm very excited to have with me one of our Maverick 1000 members and his partner, and Andy Miller. He's been a good friend of mine for quite a while. Got to know him throughout the years in personal settings, business settings, and him and his partner, Tom Schaefer, who's on the line right now, they have been instrumental in helping us get our Maverick 1000 group, bringing in a real sales team that I really think is going to be an incredible breakthrough for what they're doing. And Andy and Tom have been working with companies, everything from smaller businesses that typically work with businesses that are about 10 million plus, and of course, pretty much nearly every Fortune 100 company, but I'll let them fill me in on that. But they've been doing it for quite a while. They are basically the national sales trainers that the quote-unquote national sales trainers bring in when they need backup, or the ones that are going to do the real job and get the results that they need. So, Andy, Tom, welcome.
Thank you, Yannick.
If you guys want to just give a quick little background on fill in a couple blanks there, it'd be great. Because I love calling. When I introduce you guys, and Andy, when you're at an event or when I'm trying to make an intro, I'm like, this is the guy that the other big guys call in when they need the work done. Really, is the way that I explain it.
That's probably accurate. This is Andy, and I always think of myself as the quiet guy. Yannick, you've known me for years. I'm always understated, and we've been at events where you're like, whoa, guys, wait a second. Andy, tell him the truth.
Okay? Exactly.
You know, Chet Holmes and Tony Robbins organizations, Jay Abraham, you've used us some. We've got large name companies like Intuit, that sells QuickBooks, which you've heard of. And when I'm saying we, this is Tom and I on a lot of these. But we've always been word of mouth, and we've got little guys, little entrepreneurs, which is what we all started out as, up to multi-billion-dollar companies, and we're just guys who doing our passion is really kind of what it comes down to. So, Tom, you want to give them a little bit about your background, then I'll fill in the blanks a little bit on mine.
Sure, my background is a lot of franchise in the past, a national sales franchise, top five. I started a company that's in the top five creativity and innovation companies called Solution People, and Andy and I have been working together for about the last 14 years, taking all the solutions that he had talked about to the market.
Awesome. All right, so I think this stuff can apply to different people on the line. Certainly they're in different positions, from just realizing maybe that they need a salesperson or even a sales team, to even already having one in place and being like, wow, it's kind of screwed up right now. So let's start at the beginning point where someone's thinking about, I might want to have a salesperson. And of course, so much has moved to the web where they're like, well, maybe explain why someone would even want a sales force right now, or they should start considering it.
Okay, Tom, let me make a suggestion. Why don't I give an overview on sales force? Why don't you talk about the hiring component, and then I'll talk about the process component. How about that?
Sure.
That way we won't trip over each other on the call here. So why would somebody want a sales organization? Well, look at the audience and look at the folks who are at who come to the underground. Somebody starts their business. They kind of doing it out of a hobby, or they want to get free of where they're at, and then all of a sudden it starts to grow, right? And then somebody says to them, hey, you got to get a salesperson. And what do most people do? They ask around. Their first salesperson was probably somebody that they knew. Hey, so-and-so would be good at sales. Let me bring them over. Or they put an ad on Craigslist or someplace. They didn't get clear on what they wanted. They brought the person in. It's the old, you don't know what you don't know. So basically anybody looks good if they've got the right title. They have the title of salesperson. They've got a resume that says they did sales. They say the right sales words. And you're like, eureka, I found them, and I'm going to hire him or her, and the floodgates are going to open. And then you hire them, and 3 months later, you're really frustrated because it's not working out anywhere near like you thought it should. They're good people, but the result isn't happening. So it's really, why should somebody have a salesperson? Well, it's because you want to start driving sales more. You think you're leaving money on the table if we talk about internet marketing.
Maybe we can, Andy, put it in the context of, so I got a site, I already know it's working, we're selling things. I would imagine that many people that might not even realize all the ways that a salesperson could help them, whether it's outbound or inbound, or what the results could be when instead of just only using email or the web to sell, it went to actual live salesperson that could be selling something for them.
Okay, so we know if you have a salesperson and there's a live touch that usually, I'm giving you gross generalizations, okay? So we know that when you tie in, marketing efforts along with sales efforts, when you combine the two together, it usually doubles your close rate. So
that's probably a pretty good reason. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say that's pretty compelling by itself, right? So it's following up with people who joined your email list. It's following up with people who inquired about your products. It's somebody who came to the website, started to check out, and then didn't complete it, and they abandoned, right? If you could capture that abandoned information and follow up with a phone call, there's a way to convert that, right? If you want to start selling bigger products, you're going to go from an e-book or an online course to more expensive, more time-intensive kind of offerings. The higher the price goes up, the more time-intensive it goes up, the more likely you're going to need a human being to reach out to them and help close the deal.
Yeah, and that's where I think that a lot of people who are listening to this could use it, is going from their initial front-end product to something higher priced, bigger package, and having a salesperson there. But it's a scary proposition when you haven't hired a salesperson or done anything with the sales team.
Exactly. And the word of caution I would put in there is that's a position that could morph. Somebody may say they want a salesperson, but when it's just follow-up, they might very easily hire a customer service person, and then it might actually morph into a sales position. And a salesperson, the skills of a salesperson and the skills of a customer service person look very similar initially, but the mindset is radically different, almost polar opposite. And that's when it comes down to, you've got to really think about what the position requires. What do you want that job to do? And then that helps you decide what should your hiring criteria be and what are you going to do to get there? So that's actually a good segue into Tom talking a little bit about hiring, Yannick, if you're ready to kind of go to that piece.
Yeah.
Well, when I look at everything, I have a degree in philosophy, and so I use four stems: know yourself, know things, choose things, create things, and then give things. And so my first part would be, when I look at hiring...
Tom, say this one more time.
Yeah, philosophically, it's know yourself, choose yourself, create yourself, and give yourself, which really ties into what Mavericks is all about. I love this idea of, you have this lifestyle, and which is about a choice, and you have an impact, which is about knowing who you are, because you can really make an impact when you leverage what you're great at, and then you have this thing built into your framework about giving back. And so that's so consistent with the way we would look at hiring. So when we unpack that, the first part is, before you're looking at even the salesperson, it's know your business model and what you want to create. Like, what is the business you want to drive? The business that you have, get clear on that. The business that you want to have, get clear on that. And then underneath there, it's, let's get really granular on, if this salesperson is successful, what will they do? How will they contribute? What kind of business do we want them to get? What are targeted accounts that we want them to get? Maybe it's that we want the salesperson to get us speaking venues so that we speak at 7 associations that might be partners for us to extend and give us a brick and mortar or other type distribution channel. Let's get really granular on the no, and then underneath that, when we understand what the job is.
That's a good one, too. That's a great example. Is, not only just thinking about a salesperson for them closing particular deals, but use them as a way to, because if we know that we do great when we speak, or we do great when we have big joint venture partners, get them out there promoting those. That's a great example.
Well, if it's okay, I'd like to do a little riff on that, because, by the way, I need to give you some credit. I have not been to your program before this last week. I was at Underground 7. I go to at least 10 or 12 programs a year on my own dime. I speak at another 20. I've done that for 17 years, and I guarantee that I got more out of your program this week than any program I've ever been at, and I just spoke at Tony Robbins' event a month ago. So I was on the stage with them. Like this thing rocked my world. Like, rocked my world. But what I also saw, as much as I saw an opportunity for my business that I'd never seen, I saw an opportunity for the people on this phone, because there's so much money they're leaving on the table. Like, if a team could sell, if an information marketer could sell, and they really understood the leverage of their list, there's the opportunity to sell alliance with someone. There's an ability to sell some other competitor on giving their products to add on extra average check. There's an opportunity to sell someone on the idea of selling the URL or licensing the URL so that you get some more real estate. There's the opportunity to sell an association on a co-venture so you could take a product and get distribution. There's the ability to sell a major mass marketer retailer like Costco, Sam's Club, BJ's, somebody like that. Take a product that's done really well online, productize it, sell it there to legitimize the offer so that back at the website, it could say, as seen at Walmart, you know, this Costco, as a credentialer, so that it takes away some of the fear and maximize the trust. I could go on about that for about 10 minutes, but when I saw, like, what our skill sets do for us, and how we look at the world, and when I saw what you guys do, I said, wow. Like, I told Andy, after seeing Ted Leonis, however you say his name, I said, I think we ought to put down our goal is to own a sports team. You know, I got excited. So underneath it, that's what I was saying. If your goal is only, I want to boost conversions, and I want someone to trail off on a lead or on an online chat, that's a certain skill set. If we say, hey, we want to get, you know, I look at, like, one guy that maybe a lot of people didn't see was this Chet Womack, I think his name is?
Yeah.
The bird guy?
Yeah.
By the way, that session rocked. I don't know if you were there, but I was like, that guy is right on. Well, this guy's got products that could they be sold at PetSmart? And by the way, if all the PetSmarts in the world carried this product, I don't know what it would do in volume, but it would be a lot. And
That wouldn't help his business at all.
Really? Are you kidding me? Oh, you're
fantastic.
So here's my point.
Tom, this is the fun part of being a maverick, right? The part of Onyx Formula is have fun. That was the have fun piece.
That would be amazing, right?
So you gotta sit down and you say, what do I have to offer? How valuable are my offerings? Who would they be valuable to? What's the unmet need in the world? What's the distribution channel that I'm not getting to? What's my coverage model? What's my dream for my business? And I love that you can test things really fast and nimble on the internet. You can get pretty nice distribution. You can penetrate your list. But when you have that formula work, you can get massive scale. And here's the beauty. If Chet, for example, went out and sold his bird talks and his bird saying cuss words and all the crazy stuff that this guy does, because he is awesome, if he took those amazing ideas and he sold them into PetSmart, there's a sales kind of guy that you need to do that has certain skill sets and certain beliefs. But if he can penetrate that and even get two products that are next to the bird seed and they buy in, he brings in tens of thousands of new people that he can innovate and create niche long-tail products to. So the way that these brick-and-mortar, the internet, information, back and forth are this exceptional opportunity, but it starts with knowing how big is your vision. If you have a little vision, skill sets are much different. You won't get more than you cast for. Any thoughts on that?
That's a good one. So is that a good segue into the testing and the I mean, that's something that you guys are so high on.
We are high on that.
Hey, Tom, before we go there, I just want to, real quick, because, Yanni, your question earlier was why have a salesperson? So why you want to have a salesperson is they can help go get go get the big sales. You're not going to get the internet sales. That's one channel of distribution, right?
Yeah.
But you have a sales guy who can go sell sponsorships. You have a sales guy who can go sell to the big box store. And I'm saying sales guy, sales gal, whatever. But you have a salesperson who can go make the big sales that, A, you as the entrepreneur don't have time for. B, you may not have the skill sets for them. But it's an additional stream, and they complement each other.
Yeah, that's perfect.
It's a lot like, you had Dan Sullivan, who I'm a strategic coach member in the past as well, and, part of his cookbook is do, let's say, 12 strategic talks in a year. I think he's trying to take that up to 20. Well, somebody sells those strategic talks. And a lot of information marketers, if they have a salesperson that will get clear on where the market is, where the herd is, that comes together, either virtually or in person, sells that opportunity where you get your 10 to 20,000 for stage time because you are published information marketers. Get that fee, but most important, credentialize the brand so everyone runs back, joins your herd. There's just so many leverage points. So how there's before we get to the assessment, there's this other piece. When we know what that is that we're trying to accomplish, then we say what skill sets, what beliefs, what values, what motivations, what cognitive ability, and I'll give you an example. If we're selling consulting products, information, to consulting-type people, our person has to be fairly deft. They have to be bright. They have to be quick. If we're selling consumer products into the lower middle America, our person, they may have trouble connecting and relating if they're too bright. So it's not that you have to have the most of everything. You start with what is the customer, what is the person, the client that you're trying to influence, and then go on the back and say, what will have to be present for rapport, and then what's the level of assertiveness, what's the level of dynamism. When we understand, and we, in our world, our steps are get clear on your business, then get clear on the person, then get clear on the hiring specs. We then spec them to assessments. Now, we use 4, and they're not free. But I'll give you an example of why you'd want to use assessments. I was working with Jiffy Lube recently, and you'd think that the average guy that when you pull into a Jiffy Lube, that they get paid $9 an hour. What's the difference if you hire someone that's a mistake? Well, when we did the math on a best practice person versus a worst practice person, a mistake in a hire at a Jiffy Lube is $350,000 a year of profit, conservatively.
Really?
No. Yeah. And so when we unpack that and help them understand that not only does it cost them margin, it actually costs satisfied customers. People leave not having a Jiffy Lube experience because there wasn't a person that had the skill sets to make it happen. So they don't repeat, and they're more likely to get commoditized and have someone else that will get this transaction only on price. But if there's a person that can deliver the unique selling proposition, the equation all changes. Now, when we get underneath and unpack that, what we typically have people understand is a person that works in this will change your life. A person that's a mistake, it doesn't look like it cost you anything, but the opportunity cost is everything. The opportunity cost is a real cost that you just can't see in your financials. But a significant relationship, a significant distribution, a significant acquisition of a letter, a URL, a consulting partner, or whatever, are game changers. So
yeah,
what we do.
I've seen opportunity cost in our business. I mean, we've had the wrong person in, and it, like, opportunity cost could be where you're working with trying to put key partners, and you many times don't get a second chance to make a first impression if you get the wrong.
Well, that's exactly right.
It goes beyond that, because Yannick, you met my assistant Sarah, right? And she's fantastic. And I use the process that Tom's discussing right now. I use that process to hire her. So she was not. I did not get lucky by accident. That I hired her by design.
Yeah, and I think that's that's incredibly important.
Yeah, and so when you hire somebody by design, now let me show you how this plays out, right? Because Jim Collins talks about get the right people on the bus, and we'll talk about that in a second. But it's the when you get the right person by design, and you're talking about part of the Mavericks is lifestyle, having fun, giving back. Okay,
right.
So I'm at the stage. as you know, that things were going on with my parents. Both of them had Alzheimer's. Now, the impact on my business had been, I mean, I've been working maybe a third of my time the last 2 years. Now, if you have the right people on the bus, and they can actually help you maintain your business while you're having to deal with other things in life, because everybody who's listening to this or will read this, they are at the stage where either they've gone through this with their parents, they're going to be going through it shortly, or it's coming somewhere down the road. There is no escape. You have the wrong people, your business will not weather the tsunami, and you will be destroyed. You get the right people, and your business will continue to thrive while you go deal with whatever you need to deal with in your lifestyle, whether it's positive or negative. And so it allows you to weather the storm when you got the right people. Why? Because they know what to do. They're doing the right thing. You know you can trust them with your life. They will not bleed you dry. And that's something that nobody talks about, but yet it's of critical importance. Because, I don't even have to point out other names. There's people that we all know who've all been dealing with whatever their version of, hey, I didn't plan for this. This wasn't part of my plan. But yet it is part of life, and there is no escape.